Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's really good to be in the house of God, isn't it?
Yes.
Where we fellowship together and we worship and we bless his name. For indeed our God is good, isn't he?
Yes.
And his mercy endures forever and ever. Bow your heads with me, please. Just something similar to what I did last week, I want to do today. That is, I want you to pray for yourself and say, Lord, please speak to me. Just make that your prayer right now. Make it personal. Make it for you. Lord, say, Lord, please speak to me through the ministry of the word right now, through what comes up. Tell him, Lord, I want a word from you. Ask him to minister to you in the name of Jesus. Let his name be glorified. Yes, Father, thank you. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you for the fact that you are God and that you still speak. This day, Father God, may we continue to hear your voice. In fact, Lord, we have heard your voice already. May we continue to hear it, O God. May you speak to us. And may we not just be hearers of the word, but doers also. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles, please, with me to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 8. I'm going to read the first 12 verses. And then just one verse from Galatians after that. Galatians 6, 9. Familiar passage, that one in Galatians. But let's read Judges chapter 8 from verse 1 to verse 12. We all there? I only heard one person say yes. Don't know about everyone else. Are we all there?
Yeah.
Judges is in the Old Testament, by the way. In case you're wondering where it is, you're thinking what book of the Bible is in or what passage. It's in the Old Testament. Judges chapter 8, I read. Now the men of Ephraim said to him, that's to Gideon. They said to him, why have you done this to us by not calling us when you went to fight with the Midianites? And they reprimanded him sharply. So he said to them, what have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison with you? Then their anger toward him subsided when he said that. When Gideon came to the Jordan, he and the 300 men who were with him crossed over, exhausted, but still in pursuit. Then he said to the men of Succoth, please give loaves of bread to the people who follow me, for they are exhausted, and I am pursuing Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the leaders of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hands that we should give bread to your army? So Gideon said, for this cause, when the Lord has delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will sear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. Then he went up from there to Penuel and spoke to them in the same way. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered. So he also spoke to the men of Penuel, saying, when I come back in peace, I will tear down this tower. Now Zeba and Zalmunna were at Karkor, and their armies with them, about 15,000, all who were left of all the army of the people of the east, for 120,000 men who drew the sword had fallen. Then Gideon went up by the roads of those who dwell in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbehath, and he attacked the army while the camp fell secure. When Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued them, and he took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and routed the whole army. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Key verse from Judges chapter 8 here is verse 4. When Gideon came to the Jordan, he and the 300 men who were with him crossed over, exhausted, but still in pursuits. The title of today's message is Exhausted, but Still in Pursuits. The Christian journey, we know, is full of battles, and possibly probably also full of ups and downs. At times things might well be going your way, and then at times things you face strong opposition to what's going on. You've spoken here about spiritual attacks, you've spoken here about the attacks of the enemy. I know Pastor Brian, when he spoke about strongholds and stuff like that, we spoke about Daniel when he prayed, and the prince of Persia withstood the answer to the prayer for 21 days. We are aware, or rather, we should all be aware, that we are engaged in battle. And the moment, the very second you give your life to Christ, whether you're aware of it or not, you actually are enrolled in that battle.
That's right.
Because you are either for God or you're for the devil. The moment you give your life to Christ, the devil is, you know, he's pointing all his arrows at you. And what he wants to do is he wants to discourage you. He wants to put you down. He wants you to think that this whole thing you're doing is not worth it. You see, God wants you to go to heaven, to live and reign with him forever and ever. The devil wants the opposite. He wants you to go to hell. So he puts stumbling blocks in your way. He puts opposition in your way. He puts things in your way that would discourage you. Make you think, you know what? No, I can't make it. This journey is too much for me. What's happening? And at times, yes, humanly speaking, yes, we do feel tired. We feel frustrated at times. We actually feel fed up. We think, God, what is going on? You only have to look at the psalmist and see the number of times. Look, the psalmist said, my God, why has you forsaken me? At one point he said, I'm going to say, God, why have you forsaken me? Why do I mourn because of the oppression of the enemy? The psalmist was real with his feelings. The psalmist was real with what was going on in his life. But he knew one thing, that he had to stick with this God. So despite the situation, despite the tough times that he was going through, one thing he will still say is this: I'm going to praise God. That was one thing that he never failed to do, despite everything that was going on. He knew, yes, you know what? I have no choice, if you like. If I'm going to make it, I have no choice. I'm going to stay with God. This morning, I want to bring a word which I pray and hope will be a word of encouragement to us. And the encouragement is this: whatever you're going through, however ferocious or severe the battle seems that you're in at the moment, do not give up. Because your victory is at hand. Because your victory is there in the name of Jesus. It could be that at the time when you want to give up, it could be that your victory is just round the corner. And that is the time when you do not want to give up. That's the time when he wants to press on and on and on. When Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says that his sweat was like great drops of blood. And he said one thing: if it be possible, let this cup pass me by. Nevertheless, let not my will, but your will be done. You see, Jesus there in his humanity, he knew the weight of what was going on. He knew the suffering that was awaiting him. He knew all of that. But you know what? He knew that there was a greater goal, a greater prize. And therefore, despite the suffering, despite the pain, and he was sorrowful. At one point he said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. But despite that, because he knew the victory that was awaiting him, giving up was not an option. And in the name of Jesus, for us, giving up is not an option for us. God has given us land to possess. God has given us places to go to. God has blessed us. He has prospered us. You know, there's a verse, and I'm slightly digressing, but it's okay. There's a verse, I think it's Isaac, and he said in the book of Genesis one time, he said, the Lord has given us peace and we'll dwell in the land. But God has prospered us and will dwell in the lands. God has prospered us, amen. Okay, God has prospered me. Okay, I'll speak for myself then. God has prospered me. God has blessed me. Yes, I may not have £1 million in the bank. I may not have my private jet, that's coming by the way. I may not have all of that, but you know what? God has prospered me. God has blessed me. And if truly you're a child of God, you should be able to say that confidently and mean it. Because the fact that you're a child of God is a blessing.
Yes.
The fact that God has saved you, that is a blessing.
Yes.
The fact that right now you are heaven bound, that is a blessing.
Yes.
God has blessed us, God has prospered us, and we will therefore will be fruitful in the land that God has given us in the name of Jesus. Because that is the God that we serve. So the enemies that we need to subdue in order to possess this land is ours for the taking. But what we mustn't do is give up. Even when the battle seems so ferocious, we don't give up. We keep on going. You tell me, well, how is this possible? How can I keep on going when I'm tired, when I'm fed up? Well, let's see what Scripture tells us about Gideon and his army. We've read from the book of Judges chapter 8, but if you want to get a complete picture of this story, read Judges chapter 7. Now it's when God called Gideon, and he was called then a mighty man of valor. And he started fighting against his enemies. What happened was this: the children of Israel had sinned, and God, and they cried out to God, God save us. And because God is such a merciful, kind, and loving God, he answered their prayer, he answered their cry. And he raised up Gideon. And now they were about to face the Midianites, this is in chapter 7, in battle. And the scripture tells us, the account tells us there that 32,000 men initially were assembled. And I want you to bear something in mind about that, 32,000 men. Yet, the passage tells us that the Midianites were like locusts. The Midianites were so numerous, more numerous even than the children of Israel. And those 32,000 men, bear in mind, that wasn't all of the children of Israel. That was just probably those of fighting age. So it probably wouldn't have included the men, it wouldn't have included the women or the children or those who were sick or those who were frail. Just the men of fighting age or fighting strength. 32,000 initially were assembled. God says to Gideon, too many. If you guys go into battle, you'll say, it was me. You say, I did it.
Yeah,
it's all about me. Remember one thing, people, our God is a jealous God. And he always wants the glory to go to him. If you're blessed, it's because God has blessed you, amen? If you prosper, it's because God has prospered you. If you're wise, it's because God has given you wisdom. Always, whatever happens to you, whatever goes on in your life, always make sure you give the glory to him. Because it's not about you, it's about what he has done in your life, what he's doing in and through you. So God said to Gideon, at least 32,000 men, if you're to go to battle, they will say, we did it. So tell them, whoever is tired or who's scared or what have you, tell them to go home. Scripture tells us that 22,000 men left. Only 10,000 remains. So 22,000 there were a bit shaky. Perhaps they were just following the crowd and they didn't really know what to do. 10,000 remained. God said, you know what, Gideon? Still too many. Need to cut this down even more. So they went to the river. Then they were drinking water. And the Bible tells that those who lapped water, and you put their hand to their mouth, those are the ones who were going to be selected for battle. And there were 300 men like that. Now you think about it. You do the maths. Initially 32,000. Now they're just 300. That's less than 1%. Yeah? Math students here, don't let me down. I bet some of you are scratching your head. Oh, what's 1% of 32,000? Well, it's 320, by the way. So 300 is less than 1%. So from 32,000 to 300. And remember, like we said, the Midianites were like locusts to 32,000, to even more than 32,000. So if the Midianites were like locusts to 32,000, what would they have been like to 300? You just picture that in your mind. Yet God says, I will give you the victory.
Amen.
People of God, you see, there is one lesson, and I know I've said this here before, and I'll say it again. One of the lessons that we need to learn, let me encourage you, is that we need to focus on the word of God and not on the opposition. It doesn't make sense. How can 300 people, who, by the way, are not military trained, who are not experienced, how can they defeat an enemy that is like locusts? It doesn't make sense. But God's word says, I will give you the victory. And that's all that they needed to know. That was enough for them. When David, the young boy David, faced Goliath, remember Saul put his armor on him. What did David say? I can't wear this. I'm not proved it. You know, I'm not a military boy. It was David's elder brothers who were in the army, not David's. David, I can't wear this. He's a shepherd boy in the wilderness. He had put an armor on him. But what did he say? The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will save me from this Philistine. Saul looked to the giant Goliath. David looks to God. People, when we're fighting the battle, your perspective matters. When you're fighting the battle, if you have the wrong perspective, even before you throw a single arrow, you could be in a position of failure. Why? Because you're looking, you're having the wrong perspective.
Yeah.
God said to Gideon, with these 300 men, I will give you the victory.
Amen.
So there in chapter 7, the battle started. They were defeated the enemy. They captured some of the kings and the princes of Midian. And they were doing pretty well. And they continued, even there until chapter 8, still pursuing the enemy. And yes, certainly, it seemed like victory was going their way. And they were about to subdue all the Midianites. But then the passage tells us one thing. They were exhausted. And let's face it, naturally, who wouldn't be? When you're fighting, you know, day in, day out like that, you know, momenting, and like I say, these people were not trained. Understand where they're coming from. They were exhausted. But I like what the passage says. Gideon and his men continued, even though they were, it says exhausted, but still in pursuit. They were exhausted people, but they did not give up. They were exhausted, but they did not just sit where they were. They knew that there was a battle that still had to be won. The battle was not yet complete. Yes, they had started it, and they had carried on well, and they were going on well, but the battle was not yet complete. But they were exhausted. But they needed strength for the battle. But they had to carry on. And they were tired. People, at times in our lives, at times in our battles, we might feel like that. We might feel exhausted. The verse we read in Galatians, it says, do not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, I like that, in due season we will reap. But here's the condition, if we faint not.
That's right.
You see, that tells me something, and that's quite interesting. It tells me that there's a possibility that we will feel tired or feel weary. It tells me that there's a time when perhaps we will feel discouragements, frustrations, even failure, that we'll feel fed up. It tells me, yes, those things may well come our way.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm tired of this whole thing. I want to quit. I've had enough. Things are not going my way. I'd have thought by now I'd have a church of 1,000 people. I've only got 20. I thought by now I'd have this, that, and the other. I haven't got it. I'm tired. I'm fed up. I want to quit. But God's word comes with us with a promise. Yeah. For in due season we will reap.
Yeah.
If we faint not. Amen. People, this is not the time to faint.
No, no.
This is not the time to give up. This is not the time to throw in the towel. Because our victory really is upon us in the name of Jesus. We speak victory into everyone's life, into everyone's circumstance. And we encourage you in the name of Jesus. Keep going on. If it's strength that you need, turn to the one who gives strength.
Yeah.
They that wait upon the Lord shall do what? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. I still remember the account of Elijah on Mount Carmel. After he had slain the prophets of Baal, God tells him, go and tell Ahab that rain's going to come. Elijah prayed for rain. The rain came. And then there's a wonderful verse there, 1 Kings 18. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he outran Ahab, even unto Jezreel. How can a man on 2 feet outrun someone with horses and chariots?
Yeah.
Sorry? To God be the glory indeed. The hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. Elijah needed strength. God gave him strength. Elijah was tired. God strengthened him. And you know what God's word tells us? Elijah is a man just like us.
That's right.
Read James chapter 5 and you see it. James chapter 4, James chapter 5. Elijah was a man just like us. You might think, oh, was Elijah superhuman? No, he wasn't superhuman. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that's what Elijah did. So if God did it to Elijah, he can also do it to you. If it's strength that you need, God can also give it to you. So people, in the name of Jesus, let us not grow weary. But let's keep on going, even though we're exhausted. A couple of reasons why I believe that these people kept on going, even though they were exhausted. Well, number one, I think I've already alluded to this, the battle was not yet won. If they had stopped where they were, that would have been a partial victory.
That's right.
That would have been a half-hearted victory. And perhaps the enemy would actually then have come up again, would have read the ugly head and would have wanted to defeat them. You see, when God defeats the enemy for us, he does it completely, absolutely. When the children of Israel, they passed through the Red Sea, Pharaoh and his army were completely drowned in the sea. God's victory is total, it is complete, it is absolute. Had they stopped, they would have only had a partial victory. And that is not what God wants for us. God wants to completely defeat and subdue our enemies under our feet. The second reason why I believe that they continued going was this. Gideon was a man of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, he's listed there as one of the heroes of faith. You see, we've spoken in this place time after time after time about faith. I really don't feel that I need to say any more.
Yeah.
Whether you're a visitor here or a regular, I'm sure you must have heard us talk about faith before in this place, if you've been here before. Faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Gideon was one of the heroes of faith. Talking about faith, I will say this about this passage. It's quite interesting. Don't worry about that phone, I'm already connected to God. I'll say this about Gideon in that passage. God is merciful, even when we at times are faithless. You, if you read the passage in Judges chapter 7, read that chapter. You see at one point, God told Gideon, I will give you the victory. But he said, in case you were still scared, go down to the camp and you'll see what will happen. Gideon took one of his servants to the camp and they were led eavesdropping on someone on a tent, in a tent. And the man said, oh, I had a vision that a whole loaf of bread came and then toppled us up. And then the other man in the tent that was talking to him said, that's none other than Gideon and his army. And the passage tells us there, and like I say, you've got to read Judges chapter 7 so you have the full understanding of what I'm talking about. At that point, Gideon then worshipped God, because he knew that God had given him the victory. See, although God promised him, God still gave me, if you like, that reassurance again, that the victory is yours. Yeah. Even in the midst of our insecurity and our fear at times, and when we're scared, God is still merciful.
Amen.
God still comes and picks us up. God still comes and does something with us, people of God. So yes, Gideon was a man of faith, but he knew therefore the strength and the grace of God. Another reason why I believe that they carried on even though they were exhausted, really, it's all connected to this. Because God promised them the victory. And he who promises faithful. God is not a man who will lie. He's not the son of man who will repent. He said, look, by these 300 men, you will have the victory.
Amen.
God promised them. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his promise. And that is what he did. God will do what he says he will do. People, what we have to do is to believe and to act on what God says.
Yeah.
As we said before, faith is an action word. Faith without works is dead. God told Gideon that he will give him the victory. God's done his part. Gideon and his men now needed to do their part.
Yeah.
Their part was to go and to fight and defeat the enemy.
Yeah.
In the strength and in the might of God. And they did it. And the passage that we read in chapter 8 there, we see how they routed the entire army. They were exhausted. They were tired. They needed food. The people who went along the way wouldn't give them food. So Gideon says, okay, I've asked you to help me. You've refused. When I come back, I like that. He didn't say, if I come back. When I come back, on my way back, I will deal with you. You know, sometimes faith makes you say some real bold and daring things. Some things that you think would sound rather audacious even. But that's faith coming out. That's faith speaking. Not if I come back, when I come back. Because he knew what God was going to do in his life. So people of God, even though they were tired, even though they were exhausted, it wasn't time to stop. It was time to actually carry on. You know, during the week when I was preparing this message in my study, my son came in and I asked him to read the verse, that Judges chapter 8, verse 4. And I said to him, what do you think that means? He's looking now because he knows what I'm going to say. He's feeling a bit, this is my eldest son, Shia, by the way. I said to him, what do you think that means? And he said something along the lines of, you have to carry on even though you're tired. I said to him, son, that's right. That is right. That is it. You have to carry on even though you're tired. Because, and you can do it. Why can you do it? Because God will give you the strength. Why can you do it? Because God has not brought you this far to leave you.
That's right.
Why can you do it? Because everything that you need, God will give to you. Listen, people, I can't emphasize this enough. God has not brought you this far to leave you. Please understand that, people of God. God has not brought you this far to leave you. Turn to someone and tell them that. Come on. Tell them that. Speak into someone's life. Tell them, God has not brought you this far to leave you. No, he hasn't. He hasn't. He's not taking you halfway through your wilderness experience and saying, well, that's it now, you're on your own. All the way, he's with you. Every step of the way. Because you're with me, I will not fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Not because he doesn't say because you're at the door and I'm here. You are with me as I'm going through, God, you are there. You walk through that tough situation, God says, I am with you. Remember what the psalmist says, where can I go from your presence? Where can I go? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to hell, you're there. If I take the wings of light, you're there. Keep you understand one thing, our God is with us.
Yeah.
And because our God is with us, the victory is ours in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What's the application therefore for us people of God? As we close, he who calls you, he who comes to you is faithful. Therefore, what he says he will do, that is what he will do. We quoted earlier on from Isaiah chapter 40. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But here's a key point, and I'm going to close shortly, that we keep on going at times, even when we don't see the results, because God is with us. I talked earlier on about Elijah, about how he prayed. He prayed for rain. Well, actually, the full account really is this, that he went and he knelt down and he had to pray 7 times before the rain came. He knelt down, and the Bible tells us that his head was between his knees. He was in that real complete bowed down position. He prayed the first time. He said to his servants, go and check if there's rain. There's no rain. The second time, go and check if there's rain. There's no rain. The third time, go and check if there's rain. There's no rain. 7 times. Then on the 7th time, the servant said, I could see like a hand, a cloud like a hand in the heavens. That's when they knew that the rain was coming. Elijah persevered, people of God. What would have happened if he had just prayed once or twice and stopped? Yes, God promised rain. That is true. Yes, I accept that. God promised rain. But even when God promises, God wants us to pray those promises through. God wants us to act in faith and do something about the promises that he has given us. Elijah did not give up. He kept on praying, kept on praying, kept on praying until he got the result that God had promised. People of God, in our lives, we need to do the same. God has promised you something in your life. God has said this will happen for you. You keep on going until you see the results in the name of Jesus. And you tell God, God, strengthen me. I will not give up. I will not grow tired in the name of Jesus. I will not grow weary in doing this good thing. because my victory is round the corner in Jesus' name. Yes. My prayer in the name of Jesus that we will all live victorious lives. Amen. However fierce the battle may be, however fierce the opposition may be, however tired we may feel, we will not give up in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, if any man draws back, my soul have no pleasure in him. But I like how that verse ends. It says, we are not of those who draw back to perdition. Can I have the musicians, please? We are not of those who draw back to perdition. We are of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We will keep on believing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise to our feet, please. Hallelujah. Exhausted, but still in pursuit. Exhausted, but we keep going because our victory is right there for the taking in the name of Jesus. Exhausted, but we're going to carry on because of the promise, the word of God to us in Jesus' name. Exhausted, but we carry on because we are a people of faith and we believe what God is telling us. Exhausted, still in pursuit because our victory will be complete.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. Why don't you pray for yourself right now? He gives strength to the weary. He gives strength to those who need strength. Lord, give me strength in the name of Jesus. I feel tired right now. I feel exhausted. I feel weary. Lord, strengthen me in Jesus' name. The battle is such right now, I feel frustrated. Things are going on that's making me feel fed up. Jesus. But I keep on going in the name of Jesus. I press on to that prize. I press on to the high calling. I press on to what God has in store for me in Jesus' name. Pray that for yourself in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, like Gideon and his army, I'm exhausted, but I'm still in pursuit. I will continue to be in pursuit in Jesus' name. Let those hands be strengthened. Raise your hands with me, please, to God. Please just raise your hands with me. Let every raised hand right now, Lord, be strengthened in the name of Jesus. Let every feeble knee, Father God, receive strength in the name of Jesus. Let every heart, every soul know strength from you. Where people are tired, perhaps it's even causing them sleepless nights, it's causing them tears, it's causing them worries and concerns. Where people are fed up, Lord God, let them know your strength in the name of Jesus, that they will rise in strength, they will rise in power, will rise, Father God, in the power of your Spirit, in the name of Jesus. The victory, Lord, that you have won for us, the victory that we are claiming, is complete in Jesus' name. Tiredness, Father, will not get in the way. Weariness will not get in the way in the name of Jesus. We might feel exhausted, but we come to you, the source of our strength. We come to you, the source of all that we need. We say, Lord, touch us. Lord, bless us. Lord, strengthen us, your people. In Jesus' name we pray. With our heads still bowed, please. Our heads still bowed. Is there anyone here who wants to give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ? You don't know him. You put your hands down, everyone. You don't know the Lord as your Lord and Savior. We're speaking here about God who's promised. And you don't know this God, but you want to know him. If that's you, please just raise your hands where you are kindly, with all our heads bowed, please. You want to know the Lord as your Lord and Savior. Praise God, there's one hand up. With our heads still bowed, please. Is there anyone else? I see two hands up. God bless you. God bless you. Those of you with your hands up. Is there anyone else? Can I just do this? I'm not trying to embarrass or shame you. Those of you with your hands up, please just come out to the front. There's nothing to be embarrassed about, I can assure you. There's nothing to be ashamed about. There is more joy in heaven.
Yeah.
When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So anyone who laughs at you, they don't know what they're doing. It's their loss. It's their loss and it's your victory. Is there anyone else? You want to know the Lord as your Lord and Savior? Listen, there is rejoicing in heaven more than any healing or breakthrough or deliverance. There's more joy in heaven right now over these ones. Because this is what God has called us to do, to be people who go out there and preach the gospel and save souls and bring souls to the kingdom. This should give us the most excitement that we can ever have, people of God. I tell you that. Hallelujah. Continue to serve you, to follow you to the very end.